Hello, and welcome to the weekly podcast of The Road to Reality, featuring the teaching ministry of K.P. Yohannan, the founder and director of GFA. Now, here's K.P. with today's message.
You know, in India, I think it's changing now, but when I was growing up, you know, we have these Indian offices. If you ever go to India, some government office, you will find the boss sitting in the room, and right outside his door, there's a stool and a man sitting there doing nothing. He's apparently doing nothing. He just sits there. And all of a sudden, inside, the bell goes, ding, 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 and he jumps up. He goes in and he says, Saab, sir, what do you want me to do? What is he on? And he says, go and do it. And he goes and does it, and he comes and sits there again. He's not running around doing whatever he wants to do. He simply waits to hear what the boss says, and he does it. And I think this is kind of understanding Paul had. But it's a kind of crazy thing. Here is a man who is totally on the move all the time. He was not lazy. But God asked him to do things, more things than most people, but only things he did what the Lord asked him to do. He wanted so bad to go to Asia. But then he had ears to hear. Paul, appreciate, I'm translating this in my language. I appreciate your passion for the lost. You are desperate to get this done. Those people need me so bad. But by the way, my plan is different. Lord, what do you want me to do? Turn around, go the opposite direction. You know why heaven is such a wonderful place? Angels are not running around doing whatever they want to do. The archangel comes, Michael, stands, Father, what you want me to do? He says, go and do this. And they have no agenda of their own. How long Jesus waited in heaven before coming to earth? At least 4,000 years. While the world was in such a horrible condition and a mess, it says, at the appointed time, the prophetic passage in Psalms, lo, I come to do thy will as it is written of me in the volumes. And when he came to this earth, I just don't understand. Was he less of God when he was 20 years old? That he only became God after he was 30 or 33? To be the perfect sacrifice. Why on earth he must wait 30 years before spending 3.5 years talking about the kingdom and healing the sick and calling his disciples and doing things? You have thought about that? You have thought about John's Gospel chapter 11 where who was sick? Lazarus, remember? You remember the statement that was made, Martha and Mary sent word, and what did they say to Jesus? The messenger says, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. There is no request. Please, Jesus, please come and lay your hand on him and heal him. Please rush. His temperature is going up. Please. None of those things. Simple statement. Jesus, the one you love, your affection, your feelings are so attached. They didn't need to plead like many other people did. Please, Lord, heal. No. They knew Jesus was so emotionally attached to this family that all he needed to hear was Lazarus was not well. He will leave everything and rush. But you know, that didn't happen. And everybody expected for him to run. And Jesus says, my time is not yet come. But then, poor Lazarus dies, he's buried, and he stinks. And then he says, let's go. And they say, Jesus, what on earth are you talking about? He's gone. It's too late. It's been days he's buried, and he just... worms already ate up everything that was there. What must have happened, which I'm not able to experience fully in my life. I'm little bit, I'm learning. And I say this to you honestly. As a human being, he was 100% human being and 100% God. But he lived as a man. When I hear my son is sick or my daughter is sick, I'm telling you, with all my rationale, all my objectivity, there's something inside me hurts. You see, we all feel like that, don't we? And Jesus had not very many friends on earth. He just had one wonderful family that he loved so much. They loved him. And he must have said, Father, please, may I go? And this is my imagination. Please, don't label me as a liberal or anything like that. Father said, I know how you feel, but the time is not yet. But Father, please, I love him. I'm lonely on earth. I don't have very many people. Please, son, time has not yet come. Yes, Father. And I can bet on it, and I'm convinced Jesus was deeply in pain when he could not go. How do I know that? It says he suffered and learned obedience in the scripture. It is not the suffering on the cross, the blood and the nail. Please believe me, that is not. Throughout his life, he said no to himself and embraced the suffering to learn what it means to obey his Father as a man in everything. So what is the difference between him saying, I can't go now, my time is not come, and a few days later, the father said, son, I want to talk to you. Yes, Father. Yeah, I wanted to go now. But Father, he's dead and gone. Don't worry. My name is going to be glorified. Go. Painting spirituality like this can become confusing because it's something we think we cannot attain or know. Your son or daughter, they will never know you when they're 2 years old, when 3 years old. They get to know you as they grow up. But if they leave home, if they close their heart and they are independent, they will not have a chance to know you. It is not mere obedience. The old covenant is do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. But the new covenant is not that. Because it is not legalism and bondage. The new covenant is we are partakers of his nature. And we learn of his way such a way, somehow it's a second nature for us to hear the little voice that he speaks. And please don't get discouraged. It's a journey we must make. As a pastor, you are teaching through the book of the Bible. But is there ever a time that you will be on your face for 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours, 5 hours, saying, Father, dear Lord, you are the shepherd. What is it you want to say to your people? And he can tell you, forget about what you've been preparing, and I wanted to say this. Is there any way for us to know what he's trying to say? Because, you know, a friend of mine some years ago went to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm confused. This church I go, they have Bible study almost every day, all kind of stuff going on. Lord, the carnality, the rivalry, the jealousy and the lust and all the stuff going on. I don't know. He's a new believer. And he said, the Lord spoke to his heart, said, son, they spend time with the Bible, but not with me. Please don't misunderstand. I read my Bible every single day. I even don't like computer for my Bible reading. I read the real book. And I study this. But what I'm saying to you, Pharisees also knew the Bible very well. And devil knows it better than you do and I do. So what am I saying? This word is given to us for us to know him and become his in all ways of our life. And this is what I think one of the greatest lessons we can learn about someone so fragile, so weak as Paul, when he writes about his life, why the Lord stood by him. When the whole world is going crazy, he says, the Lord whom I serve. No, that is there. Whose I am. Send his angel and say, Paul, don't worry about it. I am here. The storm didn't go away. The crisis didn't go away. The shipwreck didn't vanish. No. In the midst of the chaos, Paul knew him that he belonged to. I say to you, my brothers and sisters, if we make a commitment to be his, it's not mere preaching. Honestly, I didn't have very many big sins to give up in my life, like I was this and that and nothing. I mean, I was, not like that. But the worst suffering I must experience in my life in knowing the Lord was to say no to the good things, not to the right things, not to things that was proper and appropriate. And it never been easy. It never, even today it is easy. I have a lot more freedom now in my life than in the past, but I am more a slave now than ever before. I was tempted to ask the Lord to take away certain burdens and agony I live with. And a few times he said, you are the freedom. And I come back to him and say, I'm sorry. Just give me grace. That's all I ask. I don't ask for you to deliver me from this and kill these stupid people who are opposing me or these enemies. But give me grace. And I tell you, it didn't happen next day or next week, but I found him to be incredibly precious, sweet. It makes my life easier to obey him and follow him. And the sad thing about this ministry that you and I are given, someday we'll wake up, maybe too late, to realize so much of the work we have accomplished, it was all about us. And I remember some of the pastors in the early days that I walked with, there are 20, 30 members, and how tender and simple and broken they were. But the years will go by, they become unapproachable, elite, and powerful. And some of them I meet, my heart is so grieved because I know they left the Lord. But they are still brilliant Bible teachers. And God is not looking for us to change the world. He is looking for us to be his so he can change the world. Maybe not in our lifetime. It may happen after we are gone. And if something that impacted my life more than anything else in the last 10 years, it is reading the lives of church fathers and people that followed the Lord as a young Christian. In the early days when I read about writings A.W. Tozer, Andrew Murray, and Alan Redpath, and Major Ian Thomas, and Buck Singh, and all these people, I thought, wow, how great, wonderful leaders they are, and amazing and all that. But later I will learn, really, they didn't make any of these things happen. They just happened to be born slaves of Christ. And he lived his life through them. So my application about this whole thing is this. I don't know where you are and you're hungry to know him. Ask the Lord to give you grace that he will become the most important person in your life. That Bible And information will not become a matter of making you and your family, your children, a good people, but rather it is to know him. And it says, when we see him, we shall be like him. And Paul, when his journey came to an end in 2 Timothy, he says, Timothy, it's been a long, drawn-out battle. I ran this race and I fought this battle. And Timothy, I just want you to understand something. I did it. But the one thing on my mind, to see him face to face. And that changed my thinking so much. What was it that was driving Paul as almost a maniac, nonstop, to give up all? I think that you find in these last words, now waits for me a crown the righteous judge will give to me. Not only for me, but all those who love his appearing. When all is said and done, nothing really matters. 6 weeks ago, I was going to the airport to catch my flight to Europe. And before I would go, I would go and visit a dear sister who was on our staff for a long, long time. I mean, she must be in there close to 50, walked with the Lord, a really good-looking lady, very tender-hearted, very sweet and gentle. She went to the doctor and they found out she had cancer. And then, too, it was in the very final stage. Obviously, she had no pain or nothing to figure this out. So they said, we can do chemo, but the chance is 5% or something like that. And she opted not to do it. So I was in her room alone. I watched dying people, but nothing this close. Her eyes so bright. Her face like a young girl going to get married. It's just so, I mean, because I saw her for years, almost every day. And she couldn't talk very strong, very soft. So I leaned over. And she said, oh, Brother KP, thank you for showing me the way of the Lord. Thank you for helping me to love him. Please don't stop. Please don't. Prayed with her and I left, and I was overseas when I got a call that she just passed away. But minutes before she slipped away, the last thing she said, oh, it's so bright, so wonderful, he's smiling at me. And she closed her eyes. What is it you're looking for? What is it you want to take it with you? In the end, you are all alone. It's a lonely, alone journey. But if you know him, you got the entire heaven and the whole world. The saints waits for you, for me. And Jesus lived like that. And I pray that in the midst of busyness, not that I'm saying you get lazy and do anything and sit on the top of the mountain in a cave, no. But when Paul said, I am his, ministry comes after that. Let me conclude with this poem that I didn't write, but when I was in my early 20s, I heard this and I wrote in the back of my Bible that I read it a million times, I think. I am seeking for one who will wait and watch for my beckoning hand, my eye, who will work in my manner the work I give, and the work I give not pass by. And oh, the joy that's brought to me when one such as this I can find, a man who will do all my will, who is set to study his master's mind. I am but a slave. I have no freedom of my own. I cannot choose the smallest thing, nor even my way. I am a slave, kept to do the bidding of my master. He calls me night or day. Were I a servant, I could claim wages, freedom sometimes anyway. But I was bought. Blood was the price my master paid for me. And I am now his slave and evermore will be. He takes me here. He takes me there. He tells me what to do. I just obey. That is all. And I trust him too. And dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. You gave your life for us. And now, Lord, tonight, we give all that we are, all that we ever hope to be, to you. And lay our lives at your feet. And say, Lord, sustain us. Help us know you better. Bless my brothers and sisters. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to The Road to Reality with K.P. Yohannan. K.P. has been crisscrossing the globe for decades, challenging the church to be more like Jesus in their worship and service unto the Lord. If you'd like to learn more about The Road to Reality and the ministry of GFA, please visit us online at roadtoreality.org. That's roadtoreality.org. And then join us for our next podcast when KP will offer more biblical encouragement to help you grow in your relationship with God and live to honor Him along the road to reality.